the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Hebert and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Sunrise this morning. I don't know if y'all got to see that or not. In the Baton Rouge area, it was gorgeous. The sky was on fire. And then I hear that certain areas got rain. I know we didn't in Baton Rouge, but I know certain areas got the miracle of moisture.
That's right. Out here on the North Shore. That was definitely the way. What was weird was we got a gorgeous, nice downpour, which we badly needed, but everything was so tender and dry. And then right on its heels, we had some fires because of the lightning, because it was so dry where it didn't quite rain. So it was a weird day yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Fire and rain, as James Taylor once said. That's what it was.
Wow. Well, I can tell you, I had to run and step outside again right before the show because it's 76 degrees, and I haven't felt that in a long time. So I was just savoring it because I think, you know, in another 20 minutes, that may all change, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, man. Well, speaking of the Holy Spirit and fire, we're going to call on him this morning as we remember St. Stephen of Hungary and also St. Roch is our saint of the day. So the prayer is from our collect today. If you go to Mass, this is our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit we dare to call our Father, bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Saint Stephen of Hungary, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a wonderful show for you today, starting off with Johnny's reflection. That is coming up in about 8 after the hour, so stay tuned for that. Johnny always has some wonderful insights on today's gospel. In 18 minutes, Peter Finney joins us. Peter is the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald. The Clarion Herald is the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and today he will update us on what you'll be finding in this week's issue. In 35 minutes, Patrick O'Hearn joins us. He's an author, freelance editor, and literary consultant. And today we are talking about Parents of the Saints. And he also has a book called Parents of the Saints, so that's very convenient. So looking forward to hearing from Patrick today. He's been with us before. And in 48 minutes, Sister Marjorie Hebert joins us. She's the CEO of Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and she's going to be giving us her monthly update. So looking forward to today's show and looking forward to today's guests. And I did want to say that we are aware we are not streaming on Facebook, but we're streaming everywhere else. So you can catch us on YouTube at Catholic Community Media and our website if you want to watch us on the stream live. And we apologize for this inconvenience because we know a lot of you guys tune into our Facebook page.
Yep.
It's not us, it's them.
No,
we're working on it.
Facebook is just moody. I don't know what it is. I think we must have said something wrong. I have no idea, but they decided
with us. We're not in Facebook jail. They have updated something.
All right, good.
On their end, so we're working on it. Yeah. But thank you for your patience. I did want to be aware of that in case you are watching on Facebook and don't see us on there. So we're working on it, and hopefully we can get back on there soon.
I mean, we're saying nice things to them and all. I mean, you know.
On our faces.
Nice Facebook. Yeah. Sweet Facebook. Oh, my goodness. Okay, the gospel and gospel reflection, we need it, is coming up right after the break. Stay with us. It's 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. good Wednesday to you.
Today's gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Oh, guys, our Lord's really giving us some very powerful and practical advice, isn't he, today?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Boy, there's just some things that really jump out, though, practically speaking, about our gospel today. First of all, you know, this follows the discourse where Jesus has been talking about to his disciples how to avoid sin and then rescuing those, calling the sheep, the lost sheep, who do sin. But this is really a passionate discourse about self-love and about the whole purpose of this is reconciliation and love. But there's some real things that jump out about this. It's sometimes comforting to know some things don't change. You know, it seems like the inability or unwillingness to admit we've sinned, it's pretty universal. It goes back through all of time. Uh-huh. I love how Blaise Pascal put it this way. He says, "There's two kinds of people. The righteous who believe themselves to be sinners, and the rest who believe themselves to be righteous." And Lewis Everly put it this way, "The worst evil lies not in committing evil, but in committing evil while pretending that it's good."
Oh, boy.
And, boy, we do that. That's, yeah. That's common in culture, but, you know, let's be honest, it's common with ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And it all comes down to, it came out of Eden with that fall, isn't it? It's at its root, it's pride. We want to be God. We want to tell him, here's the rules. And when it doesn't go our way, we make up all kinds of excuses and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but love, the Lord's offering us so much more. So Jesus advises us to seek out counsel. But there's some other things that really jump out about this as well, doesn't it? Like, it comes to sin. Jesus is telling his disciples, you can and you should and you must judge behavior. You must judge whether a sin is committed. He's leaving the judgment of souls to himself, Jesus
right.
is. But right. we must. And that means sin is objective. You know, the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, they're not to be voted on. They're not public opinion because moral absolutes do not change. I mean, the terms good and bad, that will change, but right and wrong don't change. Mm-hmm. Now, whether we're culpable for that sin, that depends on how much we know and how free we were to act. And then, you know, and then these feelings of guilt that you get because of sin, that's kind of a guide or a whistle, but it's not the ultimate decision, mm-hmm. you know, because the sin can be objective. It may not be the truth with all these feelings going on. But we do. We cloud these things that we do to other people with all kinds of excuses and blame and stuff like there. But the Lord here is really showing us that everything that he set up in his church is for our good, and it's out of love. Mm-hmm. And the last thing here that jumps out to me, guys, is this idea of church. You know, this is something that maybe those who say, "I don't believe in organized religion, I'm spiritual." And they miss here that the power was given to the church to forgive sins or retain sins in the sacrament of penance. And so someone may ask, okay, Jesus mentions the church. What is the church? Where do I go to get this forgiveness, you know?
Right.
Well, Jesus had just made it clear just a couple of chapters earlier that the church is that was built upon Peter, mm-hmm. our first pope. And he gave Peter the power to loosen and bind sins. And if you go back to the earliest days of Christianity, they say, okay, well, that's fine. You can argue about that. What did the early church say about this? I found it really interesting that when you go and you read the Didache, which is the teaching of the 12 apostles, gosh, early, this is like early first century, mm-hmm. we read this. It says, "Confess your offenses in church. and do not go up to your prayer with an evil conscience. Wow. This is the way of life. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that's right. pretty straightforward. And then you go to Ignatius of Antioch in the year 106. Where's the church? He says, quote, wherever the bishop appears, let the people be there. Just as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church, unquote.
And this is how many years after Christ died was Ignatius?
This is only, yeah, Ignatius is year 106.
100 years afterwards. I mean, that's still pretty fresh, isn't it?
Yeah, he's taught by the successors. And you read, this goes on with Irenaeus and others and everything. So really tell, what are we saying here? That it is in the Catholic Church where we hear our Savior himself absolving our sins through his ministers, our priests. And what an assurance that is, right? To know when Jesus gives this command about going to the church, that there we can find this healing out of love. And I love how Julian of Norwich put it this way. She said, quote, if we never fell, we should never know how weak we are in ourselves, nor should we appreciate the astonishing love of our Maker. We sin grievously, yet despite all this, we are no less precious in God's sight. By the simple fact that we fall, we gain knowledge of what God's love means, unquote.
Wow.
But to see it at the root of all this, it's not admonishing, it's not berating, it's love. Mm-hmm. It's love. You know, and so when we point out that we've been sinned against, yes, we're offended, but the primary concern is the love of the one who's offended. Mm-hmm. And that's really what should be at the root of how we have those private conversations and how we bring other people of wisdom in there. It's all about making sure that not only that their path to heaven, that their salvation is not blocked by blindness, that sometimes, frankly, we don't see it in ourselves, and we need that perspective and mm-hmm. we need that counsel. But mostly, we need to hear the words of absolution in the confessional, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then when we're talking to these individuals who have done some harm or have, like you said, we judge the behavior. We don't judge the sin, right? And basically, we're doing that out of love, right? We don't just pretty much say, you know, hey, buddy, you're going to hell. I mean, we don't, you know, we're not going to do that. Otherwise, we're gonna lose the individual, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
And remember, the church is the body of Christ. That's where we're having these conversations.
Exactly.
He's there, and he's in us, and he's with us. Mm-hmm. Beautiful gift. Well, stay with us. It's quarter past the hour. We're going to hear from Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald, some school news, lots of other things, too. Thanks for tuning your heart to the truth. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 16th. Today we celebrate Saint Stephen of Hungary. Stephen is the most important of Hungary's Christian kings and the country's spiritual patron. Born in 975, he was baptized at age 10. His father was the chief of the Magyars, a group of raiders who had come to the Danube the century before. When he succeeded his father, Stephen established Christianity as the religion of his country for both political and religious reasons. He suppressed a series of revolts by pagan nobles and welded the Magyars into a strong national group. With Rome's approval, he was crowned king on Christmas Day in the year 1001. Stephen created a system of tithes to support churches and pastors and to relieve the poor. Out of every 10 towns, one had to build a church and support a priest. With a certain amount of violence, he abolished pagan customs and commanded all to marry except clergy and religious. Stephen had a special devotion to the poor and often distributed alms to them in disguise. The death of his son Emmerich in 1031 resulted in a fight over succession to the throne. Stephen died in 1038 and was canonized along with Emmerich in 1083. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth. And it's not late. You still have time to get to work, so get your car. But make sure you turn us on because we got a lot of good stuff going on. I'm David Dawson along with Gabby Smith and Johnny Hebert. And right now we have Peter Finney, Editor-in-Chief of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And Peter, we're still talking back to school. Tell us about that a little bit. And good morning, by the way. I'm sorry.
Hey, good morning, David. Yeah, I tell you what, back to school. School zones are in effect. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first few days of school are always, especially for the little ones, it's a happy time, but it's also a tearful time. So we kind of fanned out across the Archdiocese and took some pictures of little ones, especially being, you know, leaving the clutches of their moms and not really wanting to go in and walk in and kind of holding on to their mom's hands.
Yes.
But then once they get in, they might even have a little breakfast snack and they're all smiles. So that's what happened at Our Lady Perpetual Help in Kenner. Some really cute photos.
Now, are you talking the kids crying and having snacks? Are you talking the moms? Because I've seen that too.
I think the moms are tears of joy.
Peter, it was so interesting. Always, we were dropping off my son. I remember went to kindergarten. It was our last son, and dropping him off to kindergarten, and he was kind of scared, and everything was okay. We gave him a hug and moved him on, and the priest said, "Would you like to come join us over there?" And there was a whole group of ladies over there just boohooing, you know, because they had dropped off their babies at kindergarten. So I thought that was adorable.
It's really true.
Yeah.
And, you know, Now, for the bigger one, St. Augustine High School, about 10 years ago, they started a great tradition. They got alumni from the area to show up on the first day of school in the back schoolyard area, and they kind of form like a phalanx, kind of a welcoming committee. And as the students walk in through the gates, they're there, you know, giving them high fives and fist bumps. And it's funny because they'll go to a student, they'll see a student, maybe tie is a little bit off. They'll go and tighten it up a little bit.
Gosh.
And it was really, those alumni are incredible. They said it takes them back to, you know, what, 30, 40, 50 years ago when they were at St. Augustine.
Yeah.
And what that school meant to them. So it's a great tradition they started. Other schools could maybe match that.
What a great idea, because those alumni, they remember their first day. I mean, it is burnt in. I remember my first day. Do you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's we have a video of that welcome day. So if you go to YouTube, Clarion Herald,
okay,
you'll see a video on that.
Oh, I got to check that out. What a great idea!
I made my teacher cry.
Yeah, that's another story though.
A different story. Let's move on.
That's a whole other story, Johnny. But anyway, I don't think Peter covers those. Anyway. Peter, Holy Name of Jesus Parish and School in the Uptown New Orleans, they've launched the capital campaign. This must be a big one because we're talking renovations and additions, huh?
Yes, that's right. And really, you know, the pandemic got in the way a little bit, but they've had a vision to really expand the school, especially with early childhood learning. Kirsch Williams, who is the principal,
mm-hmm.
The idea has been percolating for a long time. She's already started in two other early childhood learning centers, and that's what the idea is here. They opened up what they call a Little Gators program. The Gators is the nickname of the school.
Yeah.
And within weeks, it was filled, and there's a waiting list of 80 to join the program. So Kirsch knows that there is such a great need for early childhood education.
Wow.
Anyway, the church and the school got together, and initially they launched a $5 million capital campaign. When they publicly announced the campaign, they had raised all the money. It was incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
So they decided, we have some other ideas in the back of our mind. Let's maybe raise it by another couple million. And so the hope is, well, they're going to build an early childhood center, one story, and also do renovations to the classroom, the existing classroom, but also do some church renovations in the back with a room. They have a lot of weddings at Holy Name,
right,
and they'll have a room.
Yeah.
And devoted for families and things like that. But the idea is they really are looking, you know, to the future, and it's a school on the move, and the parish has done a really great job. So that's Father Mark Thibodeau. He's a Jesuit priest, and he's a great writer, by the way. He's done a lot of writing.
Yes.
And anybody who has ever heard him speak for his homilies, he's a tremendous homilist. So
oh, wow.
A lot of good things going on at Holy Name.
Well, I tell you, so you're talking what the work that they want to do in the church is more renovations rather than restorations, right? Because that's an old, isn't that like late 1800s, that church?
Oh, yeah. They're going to take the space kind of in the front of the church. A room is going to be kind of with a very high ceiling, and going to devote that to a room where brides can get ready, and also a place when there's a funeral, you could host like a little family. The family could go, prior to or after the funeral. Okay. So renovations like that. But basically, the biggest thing is to the school, and they're talking about maybe a community center /gym in phase two. So they're hoping to put to get a gym together as well. So
my
that's
goodness.
A real big plan.
Isn't it good to see somebody expanding and needing to grow for all those reasons? That's beautiful.
Yes, that's right.
You know, you got the Sister Servants of Mercy. Talk about them. They've been in town for a long time. I know that.
I tell you, they're an incredible community. Probably, if you had to ask me who are your favorite nuns in the Archdiocese, there's so many great ones.
Yeah.
But the Sister Servants of Mary, what they do, David, is they 10 nuns, and overnight, from 7 in at night to 7 in the morning, they will go to the home of a seriously ill, dying patient and spend overnight vigil with them so that it gives the caretaker a break during the night.
Oh my goodness.
And they do this all free of charge. It's just a gift of God, that they say. And, and they, of course, with only 10 nuns, they can only do, so many, take care of so many patients. What they have done the last couple of years, they've established a lay fraternity. So lay people, men and women, who would like to help, and it, not necessarily overnight. It could be during the day, maybe even 8 hours during the week at different times, can sit with a sick person to give the family members a chance to get out and run errands or just to decompress. And they just recently on Saturday welcomed in 3 new members to the lay association, and it's incredible ministry that the nuns do, and now they are trying to extend their reach by welcoming in lay people.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's like about 18 month formation program. Anybody who's interested in say, hey, I think that's something I can. You do not have to have a medical background at
right,
all.
Right.
It's just you have to have a gift for service, and you can give the nuns a call at their convent in Gentilly. They do a tremendous thing, and anybody who might be thinking about it, think about doing that.
Wow, there is such a need for that too, because I have been involved with that.
Yes.
Sitting with the people that are on. They're coming to their end. They're about to go home, but you don't want to leave them alone ever. And to have someone special, not just somebody, not just a body sitting there, but somebody special sitting there with them. That is beautiful. Wow. Wish them success.
It is.
All right. And then let's see. We got a couple of conferences coming up.
Yeah, well, one's a national conference.
Uh-huh.
The National Catholic Cemeteries Association is going to be meeting in New Orleans. And, of course, New Orleans is just famous for
its
above-ground cemeteries. And,
right.
And that's going to be the end of September. And they'll take tours of St. Louis Number 1 and do a lot of it's a lot of networking and best practices about funeral ministry. And so that's Sherry Pepo is
yes.
the executive director mm-hmm. of the Office of Cemeteries, of Catholic Cemeteries. She's really looking forward to that. They expect about 400 people for that conference. And then
wow.
Another conference is a local conference, and that's the Catholic Youth Conference, and that's going to be September 30th at Jesuit High School, and it'll involve youth from 7th grade to 12th grade in parishes and in schools, and they're inviting them for one day of speakers, fun things to do, and mass with the Archbishop.
So just during the daytime is what you're talking about.
That's
not
during the daytime. That's going to be on Saturday, September 30th.
Okay.
You can register for that, and there's information how to do that in the story.
And it's right on the heels of World Youth Day, so I imagine some of those kids are still going to be on fire from that. I can only imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, you know what I'm going to ask you? What's your favorite article in this issue coming up?
Well, I love the Sister Servants of Mary. So
yeah,
me
too.
That's one that really, it just touches your heart when you see what they have done. Kevin Fitzpatrick, who is with the Catholic Charities, he wrote about the Eucharist and what the Eucharist does to feed you, but then you go out after receiving the Eucharist and what it means to as a Catholic, to receive God into you and then to actually then go out and help others. And it's a very thought-provoking column on the Eucharist.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then it coincides exactly with people like the Sisters Servants of Mary. So
that's correct.
That is beautiful.
Absolutely.
All right, Peter, where can they pick up the issues?
Okay, every church in the Archdiocese of New Orleans at Mass this weekend.
All right.
And right now it's online electronically at clarionherald.org.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to seeing the video of that of the gauntlet that the students run through with the alumni. I think that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Peter Vitti, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Take care, David.
Well, how about that, y'all? I do love when you hear wonderful things about people serving people, and they need to grow because there's such a demand for what they need. Isn't that beautiful?
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, one other bit of news. This is the period of RCIA. We're going to talk about that in a minute. This is the time. If you're interested, been listening to this station or other things, and you're thinking, maybe I should check into the Catholic Church, check with your local parish. They got openings now for RCIA. Right, Dave?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's half past the hour. Tune back in. We're on Wake Up.
Good morning. Good to have you with us on Wake Up. Tell your friends, tell your family. Tune in to the truth, to the beauty of the Catholic Church, and just the joy of living and celebrating life in the Gulf Coast.
Amen.
You know, we do think, amen.
Tell everybody.
That, right?
Tell your enemies.
Tell. And if you want to be an ambassador for the station, contact us. We got to get you started right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as parents, as grandparents, this is our next guest. We're going to talk about a very important topic, and that is, what do we want for our children? We want them to be saints, right?
Yep.
So we're now joined by Patrick O'Hearn. He's a full-time author, freelance editor, and a literary consultant. Formerly, he was the editor at Tan Books, and he is here to talk about the parents of saints. Good morning, Patrick. Good to have you with us again.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. It's always a joy to be on your show.
Yes, yes. So I got to start off with this quote, which hit me like, wow. This is what I read that you wrote. Compared to eternity, parents have only a short window to form their children into heroic men and women. When we stand before Almighty God on that day of judgment, we will be accountable for the way we raised our children, unquote.
Oh boy.
And at first I went, oh my gosh, well, that really hit me hard. But then I turned it around and said, but let's talk about, and I want you to talk about the other side of this. How about the glory and the joy of seeing those children turn into saints, right? So tell us about some of these, what led you to write the book?
You know, I started this book a few months after I got married, and I was walking with my wife one day, and it was really the Holy Spirit out of nowhere, you know, because it's like I wanted to be, you know, the best parent that I could, and I felt like, you know, what better way to learn than from studying the saints? Obviously, they did something right. They did something amazing. And so what did their parents do? And so as I started reading the biographies of different saints, I started noting their parents, you know, and so that kind of led me on this quest. It took me 3 years to write this book, and it's about a 500-page book. Tan just released the second edition of it, and we updated the cover on it and the new typeset, but I really wanted to dive into just to help me as a parent, and I also put a lot of their struggles in there, too. So this isn't just, you know, for you to read this book and feel like a failure, because, you know, Mother Angelica said, I love her quote one time. She goes, "He who sugarcoats the lives of the saints will get much time in purgatory." So I already have enough time in purgatory coming, but I don't want even
<It's>
more.
Right. So give us some example. Like, can you go through some that we would relate to that maybe we didn't? A lot of us don't know the stories of these parents. I mean, only God knows them, many of them. But what saints' parents really jumped out to you that we can use for ourselves that apply to us today? Well, I'm sure all of it does. But while you were doing this, give us a few examples, if you don't mind.
You know, I did focus on some of the, you know, the bigger ones, like St. Therese's parents were canonized, but I also focused on lesser ones, you know, Stanislaus and Mariana Kowalska. You've probably heard the name Kowalska. That is the parents of St. Faustina, and they were very, you know, what I admired about them is just very simple people. You know, they're very poor, and even Faustina, you know, she had to share a dress with her sisters. And so sometimes she was prevented from going to Mass on Sunday because, you know, the other sister needed the dress. So,
wow.
And so in that family that she grew up in, they also kind of, I was studying her, you know, on Faustina's life, and they resisted her vocation to religious life at first. And the reason was because she was their favorite daughter. And so it just shows you that even parents, like, you know, we have these attachments, like we think we know what's best for our children. And I just reading it, reflect on their life, but they're also very devout. And I would say Stanislaus Kowalski, he would get up in the morning and he would sing hymns to Our Lady. And that was just, again, that just that life of prayer. And St. Faustina said after many years in religious life, when she's like, my spirituality like pales in comparison to my father's. And I love that quote. So just the life of prayer that he passed on to Faustina. Another one that I have is, I loved St. Gianna Mola's, you know, parents. They lived close to a Capuchin monastery, and they would wake up early, and the husband would go to Mass, and then he would go off to work, and then the wife would wake up, and she would take the kids, they would walk to Mass. So just the importance of the love for the Eucharist, those were a couple of saints in there.
Mm-hmm. You know, since you mentioned the fathers, there's all these statistics out, modern-day statistics that show when the father is faithful and hands on the faith and goes to Mass and prays, how powerful that is in the children remaining Catholic. Did you see this trend historically? I'm curious, because you mentioned a couple already where the fathers were key.
I did. You know, I see we have that, there's that quote that John Paul II, right, in his 50th anniversary, he wrote this book, I think, Gift and Mystery, and he talks about seeing his father in the middle of the night on his knees. And I do believe that example there, you know, John Paul was his first seminary, and so many of these children in the book, you know, St. Thomas More, I covered his father, John More, and he was also in the, you know, the law profession, and he was a judge. Hmm. And Thomas More, every time he would see his, he would go by his father's office, even as an adult, and he would kneel down below his window and get his blessing. And I thought that that's so profound, you know, not only the prayer life, but men to bless our wives, bless our children every night. We are the priests of their home. And so John More conveys that message so beautifully to Thomas More.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. This is David Patrick. You also probably have Lewis and Zelly Martin in there.
Or I do. Martin. You know, they're my favorites. Yeah, yeah. I do. Yeah, and then you're the French in Louisiana, right,
Martin? Right, Louis and yeah. Zelly Martin. Yeah,
I love it. Yeah, I have them in there. And,
okay.
And Lewis Martin, just a man of incredible prayer, and you know, the fact that he lost his wife, and she was 45 when she died of breast cancer, but he wanted to have that legacy. And one of the most interesting things that I found in here was, you know, they lived in the town of Alençon, and that's where he grew up. But he asked his children, he goes, where do you want to move, like, after his mother passed away?
Yeah.
And he gave his, and so they ended up moving to Lisieux. But people don't know this, they had family in Lisieux, but one of the main reasons was Lisieux was less, I would say, liberal than the city of Alençon. So here's a father already trying to protect the way he raises his children.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Mm. That's beautiful. And look, Therese was a kind of a bit of a rascal every now and then, right? I mean, so we know Lewis is going probably straight to heaven.
No, yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the Therese, just, you know, the youngest child,
yeah,
kind of, you know, that being spoiled.
Yep.
And, but he took on a mother's heart. Like, Zelly's heart was just infused in him. And, you know, and I love it. You know, St. Therese is able to write about, you know, the God the Father. It's because her own father would take her on his lap and mm-hmm. would sing to her, very affectionate. And I think that struck me as well.
That's beautiful.
In these stories. You know, you don't see cold parenting styles. You see a lot of joy, a lot of affection.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, that's great. We are talking with Patrick O'Hearn about Parents of the Saints, and he wrote a book of that title. I'm curious about, a lot of us say, well, who has the perfect marriage? You know, maybe these saints had the marriages were perfect, a husband and wife. And I'm assuming that wasn't the case. But when these saints looked at the bond or the marriage of their, in the husband and wife, what do we learn from that? You know, what encouragement can we find about being a model as a couple?
You know, I have the story of San Jose Maria Escriva's parents, Jose and Dolores Escriva, and San Jose's father was like, he was cheated out of his business by a coworker, lost everything. They grew up in the kind of, I would say, middle class, upper middle class, and then they were reduced to pretty much poverty, living in an apartment. But San Jose would say, I always saw my father with a smile and cheerful. So I think as couples, you know, when we face these sufferings, you know, whether it's, you know, obviously I haven't throughout this book, there's child loss, infertility, job loss, you know, our children need to see that, you know, that somehow that joy is still there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're setting them up for their vocation. We are their first vocation directors mm-hmm. for the sacrament of marriage. And if all they see is us complaining, which, you know, I'm guilty of that all the time, but just if somehow they can see the joy and the peace, you know, because when we're anxious and we're just discouraged, it's just gonna spread over to our children. So these saints, I think that they do a beautiful job of trying to permeate joy in the midst of the cross.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Yeah, signs of affection. I'm assuming that's, they ate that up. Well, Patrick, mm-hmm. where can we get a copy of that book, by the way, Parents of the Saints, if we want to get that?
Yeah. So that book is available at Tan Books and also at Amazon.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Yeah, well, thank you for that encouragement as parents. Yeah. Well, up next, Marjorie Hebert with Catholic Charities in the New Orleans Archdiocese gives us an update. Stay tuned. You've tuned your heart to the truth.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on a Wake Up this morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Johnny Hebert and David Dawson. Well, if you want to keep up with everything happening on Catholic Community Media, you can join our newsletter. We are actually sending one out later today, so you can keep up with what's going on.
All the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
You can go to ccmedia.live and scroll to the bottom of our website and just type in your email address. We do not spam you. I don't
being
spammed.
We're not going to do all
that. So we don't spam you.
I hate that. Plus, when you go to anything that we have posted online, something doesn't pop up right in the middle of it. You know, we don't do that either. That's so annoying.
Yes.
Hey, you know what, Johnny and Gabby, I was just thinking of our previous guest. I think he needs to write a book about, you know, he's writing Parents of the Saints. Why doesn't he write a book about saints who became saints despite of their parents? That would give me hope, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
you know,
a good one.
Just a thought.
That's a good
just
one.
A thought,
so. You never know.
Well, you never know.
Oh, my goodness. Good to I'll email Patrick show when I thank him for being on and suggest that as well. Sister Marjorie Hebert joins us. Sister Marjorie is the CEO of Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and today she's going to be giving us an update on what they are up to. Good morning, Sister Marjorie. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning. It's good to be with you on this cooler morning.
Yeah.
Cooler. And then later on at 2-3 o'clock it'll be 97 degrees, but you know, we're taking it all in.
Look,
and it's a blessing.
I'll take 95
oh,
degrees.
My goodness.
Break out your sweaters.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh, I don't know about
whatever
that. Well, Sister, you guys are so busy this month, and we're going to be talking about your Counseling Solutions program. It's been busy, and you guys opened up a new location over in Slidell. Tell our listeners a little bit about this.
Yes, it's really a great air of excitement. In our Counseling Solutions program is a professional counseling program available to individuals and families of all faiths. And our newest location is at 770 Gauze Boulevard in Slidell, which is right across from the Slidell Memorial Hospital. It's a new venture for us. Counseling Solutions will provide play therapy for children the ages of 4 through 11 and attachment-based family therapy for adolescents who are ages 12 to 18 with their families. So it'll be the individuals and their families. And this is being funded through a grant from St. Tammany Parish. And we're very excited to have been awarded that grant. And we have the first location open, and soon we'll announce the location of an office in Covington to further expand this same grant and counseling for children.
What exactly is play therapy?
I'm going to have to rely on the counselors to better define that for us. But it's really, as I best understand it, it's really engaging children in a more comfortable environment, atmosphere, to be in dialogue with the counselors. I really would have to get more information in detail to give you some specifics, mm-hmm. and perhaps it would be good to have one of our counselors on that could further it. Dr. Lisa Surrency is the director of our counseling program, and she can be reached directly at 985-785-2113. Families can call that number and talk to Lisa and set up a time. In addition to the other counseling services that we offer, this is really an outreach by St. Tammany to expand more for our children. Our children today are under so many tensions and lack of safety and all that goes with it. And it's a great help to families.
Mm-hmm. Just I think this is wonderful.
Today,
I think this is wonderful,
opening.
Sister Marjorie. I think there's a delay that we have, but I'm glad this is being offered for young children. There's so many things that are being thrown at them in today's world with screens and technology and what they're seeing at an early age. And I think this could be very important. Also, family life could be unstable, and having something like this, maybe a place that they can go to, a place of refuge. I think this is a really good opportunity. So we're definitely going to be talking to your counselors to give people an option or an opportunity to maybe to seek this if it benefits their children, which a lot of the times it can. So looking forward to learning a little bit more. I do want to jump to the next topic with Janet Lopez from Catholic Charities. She was featured in Gambit's 40 Under 40. What is she up to?
Janet is a wonderful worker. She's been with Catholic Charities 7 years, and she is the program director for our refugee services. And we're very proud of the fact that she was recognized with the 40 Under 40 Gambit recognition. She's quite a good individual with a deep commitment to service. She's the lead in our refugee services and immigrant services. And in that program, we help the individuals with processing their legal status in coming in. And some of these individuals have legitimate papers coming in. They're not just people squeezing over the border. They're coming, and we work with them to further process employment, cultural orientation, and programs for mentorship as well. Janet is really a dynamic individual herself, very deeply committed to helping individuals. And this is a special program. Catholic Charities has been helping refugees and immigrants for more than 50 years. And so it isn't anything new to us. The population is very new and different today. And we're fortunate to have a veteran like Janet, who's very committed, heart, soul, and spirit, in helping these individuals.
amazing. And this is part of the pro-life issue and why we're pro-life, helping at all stages of life. I love this and looking forward to learning more from Janet. Definitely want to book her on Wake Up as well, and hearing a little bit more. Unfortunately, Sister Marjorie, we are out of time. There's just so many updates that we can continue to talk about, but we will speak to you in a few weeks, and I'm sure you'll give us more updates. But where can we go to find out ways to volunteer and to take a look at the many services that Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese provides?
Go to our website, www.ccano.org. There's a lot of employment opportunities listed as well. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Sister Marjorie Hebert, CEO of Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Definitely check them out.
Yep. Yes. Yes, you mentioned employment opportunities. Contact them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you know, guys, this month of August is traditionally dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So let's pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O heart most pure of the Blessed Virgin Mary, obtain from us, from Jesus, a pure and humble heart. Be thou the way which leads to Jesus. Be our solace in the midst of trial, our strength against temptation, our haven in persecution, our present help in every danger, and especially at the hour of death. Help us to feel the sweetness of your motherly heart. Open to us a safe refuge in that fountain of mercy, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, whence we may come to praise him with thee in paradise, world without end. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.